from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yeah, it's been a minute, my friends. A victory Monday here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It had been so long since we had tasted the sweet, sweet juice, the nectar of a Sunday victory here on a Monday show. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Monday. I know mine is. I'm feeling fantastic. Fantastic this morning. Great to be back here with my homies. Paul Reindl, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing very well. I want to talk about your weekend in a second. I noticed something in a picture that you posted, and I want to get clarification on it. Is that okay?
Sure.
I'm surprising you with this. I know.
I have no idea.
He has no idea what I'm talking about.
I guess I'll let you know
okay.
If it's okay.
All right. I'm very, very curious about something. Very curious. And to my left, Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Now, do you really feel fantastic, or were you just hypnotized into feeling fantastic?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I feel great.
So specifically, the last time we had a Victory Monday show, Monday, May 27th. And it didn't even feel that great, because that was after the Padres had salvaged the last game against the New York Yankees.
That's right.
After losing the first two games pretty badly, and they won that last game on Sunday.
What was the date there?
That was Monday, May 27th. So Sunday, May 26th was the last time until yesterday that the Padres won a game on a Sunday.
And weren't we off that Monday, though? I thought that was wasn't that Memorial Day?
Was that Memorial Day?
Oh,
I think it was. You're right.
God.
So it was the week before that. You're right that we had a Monday show.
Yeah.
So that would have been Monday, May 20th.
But that was the last time they won on a Sunday.
That was the last time they won on a Sunday.
But we didn't even have a show.
You're right. The last time we had a Monday show was Monday, May 20th. So more than 2 months ago. That's crazy. And by the way, over those 2 months, Padres have a winning record despite never winning on Sundays.
Never.
They've just threw one day of the week completely out, as this one is a lost cause. And they still had a winning record over those 2 months.
I mean, it's very clear that our guys would rather be reading scripture and practicing, you know, doing all the right things on a Sunday and not working.
It's a day of rest.
It's a day of rest.
Not a day of baseball winning.
I was on Instagram last night. Paulie, our buddy Brian Sims came in last week and took some pictures of us. And he's kind of like the official Tier 1 photographer. He's taken some of the Tier 1 games and some of Bo's Little League games. A great dude. Brian Sims. Check him out. You know, he's really, really good at what he does. Paulie, he took a great picture of Paulie on the mic. And then Paulie just posted some pictures of you out and about. Things are going well. You're very happy.
Last couple months.
So I looked at this picture here. It's you, it's your buddy Aaron, and it's your wife Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and I said, it looks like you're wearing a sarong. Are you wearing a sarong behind our backs? And we don't know that.
What's
when you
a sarong?
It's like a wrap. It's like a men's
sash?
Sash goes here.
Okay.
A sarong would be like my Turkish bath towels, and you just wear it around your waist.
Well, I guess because I'm asking, the answer is no.
The answer is no. Now, Ben, tell me. Doesn't it look like you see his legs through the picture, right? Doesn't that look like a sarong?
Hang on, let me pull up the picture.
I just think they're white pants.
I'm wearing white pants.
Okay, see-through white pants.
But there's
that's why you don't necessarily always wear white pants, because they can be, well, a little see-through, especially if it gets hot.
I saw some.
It's also a blurry.
It's a blurry pic.
Which I thought it ended up looking cool.
It does look cool. It's a great picture. I just said, our producer goes out at night and is wearing sarongs, and we don't know this. And I feel like that's something.
I'm just wearing white pants.
All right, white pants. Okay.
I don't own a pair of white pants. I'm not
shocked.
I don't think I would look good in white pants.
I think you'd look better than you think you would.
In white pants?
In white pants.
All right.
Yeah.
You own white pants.
I do.
I've seen you on the golf course in white pants.
I wore them one time and have never worn them since. All right, Paulie, I saw it and I said, I thought I saw a little I thought I saw some Rindle Wiener in there, like the see-through pants. You got to be careful.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know what?
You got to be careful.
I see some skin there, dog. And I went, that dude is wearing a sarong out, which is great. Hey, if that's how you want to roll, then more power to you.
You had me worried there. I was like, did I accidentally post a dong?
Did
on
I post hog on Instagram and I didn't know?
No.
I wanted to get clarification because I saw it. And I said, if he's out there wearing sarongs, I want to know about it. I feel like I have a right to know that his leisure wear when he's out of the studio and away from us is, oh, yeah, I always wear these. I'm like, what? You're always wearing a sarong? I may get one. I leave for Hawaii a week from tomorrow. I don't think I would. I think I could live the sarong life. I've learned that this weekend.
I was going to say, weren't you supposed to be just robing it the entire weekend on your vacation to the desert?
There was some robes. There was some
no robes.
There was some no robes as well. We had a phenomenal time. My wife and I went to Two Bunch Palms. Now, I told Paulie. Paulie said, "How was the trip yesterday at the Tier 1 game?" And I said, "It was good." He said, well, what do you mean good? And I said, well, I said some things.
I saw positive reviews from you on Instagram and social media. You're desert people now.
Some things happened that would only happen to us, the Woods family, as you can imagine. It didn't go as smoothly as it had been planned.
It was insanely hot, right?
It was, well, yeah. Which we knew.
You knew.
So
that.
We were prepared. We didn't get out and go, oh my God. Oh
Coming
my
to like, Palm Desert in the middle of July.
Yeah, we knew. We knew what to expect. All right. So my wife is amazing. And I'll tell you what, as big of a fan as I am of Two Bunch Palms, Mrs. Woods, even bigger. And you've heard of Hotel Hannah. Resort Hannah is a completely different animal, and I do mean animal. It was spectacular. We had a spectacular time. Now, my wife planned a lot. It wasn't just, we're going to go out to the desert at this resort and sit in these tubs and relax and whatever. We had a body scrub planned. We had a couple's facial planned. We had a couple's massage planned. And we had a couple's rap. Not like we're rapping. Like, we're not rapping.
Oh, right. They're not Ben Reed's
raps. Hey, what's up, girl? Let's see those.
Couples Reed raps?
Right. No. It was like a rap.
W-R-A-P.
W-R-A-P. Yes. Yes, we weren't rapping.
You were wrapped in something.
Correct. So all four of those things were scheduled on the books.
Getting the sense that not all four were
accomplished. Take your guesses at how many of those actually happened.
I'll go
out of four.
The over-under's 1.5 right now. Paulie?
Well, he's leading me to believe the under.
Yeah, the under hit.
I'm going under, yeah.
The under hit with zero.
Zero? Wow.
Absolutely none of them.
You didn't even do the soak on Friday?
We did
6
the soak.
Okay.
Now, we did the soak.
We did the soak on Friday.
We had a teak tub outside of our room that had a giant fence around it, so it was completely private. So the minute we got in and put our bags down, we went butt naked. And got in the tub, the two of us together, in the big old tub with this beautiful lithium water pouring out of the deal, butt naked, having a blast. It was incredible. Then we went that night, we swam in the grotto, little dark area that you walk through a door downstairs into the water. It was stunning. It's beautiful. The water is this perfect. It's hot out there, but the water.
Not naked that time.
Not naked that time.
Yeah.
But the water is this perfectly. It's warm, yes, and it's hot outside, but it's perfect. It just, you're so relaxed. And you look at each other and go, F them kids, man. This could be our life. This could be our life all the time.
Thank you.
Right? This could be our life all the time. What are we doing?
What wrong choices did we make?
That was Friday. By Saturday, I was in tears looking at pictures of them. true story. So,
brother, I live like you lived on Friday every night.
Right. But then Saturday, I'm there like weeping because I miss my boys. So anyway, the first thing that we had scheduled was the body scrub. And Hannah had booked it in advance. And we said, Hannah goes, oh, what do you think about canceling that? I want to watch Bo's last baseball game at camp. I go, 100%. I don't want to miss one of his games. So cancel. It's fine. So we canceled it within the allotted 24 hours. No problem. So they said, you're good. Thank you for letting us know. Next day, we are getting ready for our facial, our couple's facial, 11:30. We get a text. Ooh, the esthetician had an emergency. She's unable to make it in today. We're going to have to cancel your facials. We go.
Someone else had a bigger face issue than you did.
Yeah, apparently. So I looked at her. I go, all right, no big deal. I'd never had one. Didn't really care. It was just to be together. So we canceled it. They canceled it on us. We said, okay. Now remember, we got it that morning. Literally about 10 minutes before we were going to walk down there. Okay. Later on in the afternoon, so we end up driving into Joshua Tree and going to the national park and killing some time and doing, you know, having a great time, just having an adventure. So we get back in time for the massage, Ben. We walk up to the waiting area of the massage, and there's a couple there, and it's Hannah and I, and two lovely women walk in, and they have their paper, and they're looking for Chris and Bethany. Oh, that's you guys? Okay, come on back. Two lovely women take them away. Well, I look over, and I see two men walking up the stairs to greet us. I am not one to judge a book by its cover. There was one guy there, though. He had a bowl haircut and a crustache. He looked like many of the school shooters that we have seen throughout history. Straight up. And he had a crust, like a little crustache, and he had a bowl haircut. He looked, it wasn't cool. And he walks, he says, are you Hannah? Come with me. And the other guy, hi, I'm Angel. Are you Steve? Come with me. And Hannah sits back, she goes, absolutely not. Absolutely not. She goes, I requested women. She requested females. She always requests females. They didn't have any females. So we thought, all right, and I looked at her, and she goes, I'm not comfortable. And I go, you don't have to be. I'm not asking you to be comfortable, to go get rubbed down by, you know, this guy. And I said, so I don't know what to tell you guys. Sorry. Like, we booked, we chose women. So anyway, they said, well, can you go down to the front desk? So we go down to the front desk, and we said, look, here's the deal. We pulled up all of our correspondence. The day that Hannah went to book all these treatments, the platform went down, their platform, right? So she had to do it manually. The lady never asked her, do you want man or woman, right? So we just went through the whole deal, and they said, well, you're going to have to pay for it. We said, there's no way. There's no way. She goes, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable getting rubbed by a man. I never have. I've never chosen a man. I never would chose a man. I always get massaged by women. And so we had to haggle in at the front desk. They ended up comping us most of it. We still were on the hook for a few hundred dollars. I wrote a very strongly worded email this morning as well. I want to like extol the virtues of this place because it was phenomenal, but I don't want to pay for services unrendered. You know what I'm saying? And she goes, but there's a cancellation policy. I go, that's wild because that doesn't extend you to your esthetician who canceled 5 minutes before our treatment. Like, I'm not trying to screw anyone over here, but she doesn't want to get rubbed down by that dude, and that dude specifically, to be honest with you. And I said, you can't ask somebody to put themselves in an uncomfortable position. It's 2024. Like, if you guys got to pay them out of your kick, then you need to do that. But we're not going to pay for services we didn't get. Right? Do you agree with me or them?
I think Hannah is 100%. Should be able to say, I'm not comfortable with this situation, and should be able to cancel without penalty.
Without penalty. Not.
I don't know about you. Now, for you, you should be able to be massaged by anyone.
Oh, and I have no problem.
And wouldn't have a problem with it.
Zero. Yeah. And I don't care. But right. I'm also not going to be... I'm not going to also be like,
see
you. See you in the
right,
room.
I get that. I get that
go,
as well.
Yeah. A massage and a wrap and everything else. So it was a little bit of a sour taste in our mouth from an otherwise exquisite, perfect weekend.
And I've never worked in the hotel industry. And I'm sure there are problem customers who are always looking for
that ain't
to
us.
Get outside the rules, but it clearly isn't you.
No.
And I would think it would be much more valuable to keep you guys happy and come back, you know, four or five more times over the next few years, spending tons of money. Now you're probably less likely to do so after having a not perfect experience.
Well,
which is,
them,
you know, you want to have a perfect experience.
I told him this morning, you can reverse the $300 on her card, or you can send us a gift card, and we'll come back and use it. And I said, there are people in my DMs right now asking me about this place. I said, I'd love to be able to come back with all of them at some point. I said, for $300, you're going to cost yourself, what, $5,000-$10,000 over the next couple years? Like, that doesn't seem like smart business to me. Other than that experience, it was spectacular. The food that I was so worried about, unbelievably great. Fresh, delicious, some of the best steak we ever had. The place is phenomenal, other than that scene. And I do feel like it's off-peak, right? It's an off-peak time. So I get that you don't have 100 masseurs and masseuses sitting around waiting. I understand that. And like I said, I'm not trying to screw anybody over. But when these dudes walked into the room, there needs to be like a presentation. There needs to be like a certain... You know what I mean? Like, Mahana was like, absolutely. She sat back. She goes, absolutely not. And I go, no. I wouldn't want that guy in particular touching you. If he looked like you, I wouldn't have cared. If he looked like you, I wouldn't have cared. If he looked like 95% of the people I know, the dude walked in, I went, oh, no. That can't be, right? That can't be. So it was.
Maybe he was really good at giving massages.
I mean, he probably is. He probably is. But he's not. My wife's like, he's not going to massage me and then wrap me nude. And I'm like, I don't blame you, not even for a little bit, not even a little. And the fact that they didn't just say, we got you guys, you're covered, don't worry about it. Sorry you had a bad experience. I'm literally in negotiation. You know me. When do I haggle? I go to buy a car, and they're like, $48,000. I'm like, sounds good. Here's a check. You know, I'm not a haggler. But I was pretty pissed about this one because it was their platform that got jacked up that we had to, you know, do it through email. And, you know, at the end of the day, man, the customer is always right. They're always right. No, not always right. But in this case, we, the customer, were right. We were right. And other than that, it was phenomenally relaxing and great. And we soaked in the tubs, and it was incredible.
No, like, weird celebrity run-ins like you usually get on vacation?
No.
Nick Nolte was at the was at Two Bunch Palms and staying in the room next to us. No.
All right. Do you remember the... Remember the old man I saw at the Joshua Tree Saloon?
Right.
He was there. We went back. He was there again.
At the saloon again?
Same guy.
Really?
Yes.
The Crypt Keeper.
Same spot. The Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
Yep. Same guy. Same spot. And I almost died. The curse that he had put on me
there. Had he moved since then?
No. I don't think so. He had the same shirt on. I sent it to our buddy Jack, who was with me. And
he
I go,
left since the last time
I don't
you were
think
there.
So. Yeah. He still had the same draft Coors Light in front of him.
He's a fixture.
He's a fixture. And he was just sitting there, and I went, ooh. So I think the curse has been reversed from seeing him the last time.
And then the Padres went on a Sunday.
It was great. It was great. Padres went on a Sunday. Curse reversed. Life is looking good.
All right. Well, welcome back. You do look relaxed.
I feel great. I feel fantastic. Really do.
I'm glad.
Yeah. You're looking at me like you don't believe me. I really feel really good.
And I am curious whether your hypnosis that we did on Thursday during the Ben and Woods summer break had an effect on you. Can I ask you about that when
sure,
we come back?
Okay. Absolutely.
We'll set the menu. Obviously, lots of Padres talk. Xander Schauffele wins another major. That was some great golf yesterday. Some of the best I have ever seen. We'll talk about all of it coming up. We are underway. It is Ben and Woods and Paul on a Monday morning. Kelly Danick's got traffic. And we'll be right back with more on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Got a bunch of texts over the weekend wondering if my golf game had been improved by our hypnosis session with Dr. Ken on Thursday morning. And I don't know. I didn't have a chance to play golf yet. I had to work this weekend. So hopefully it'll carry over until I actually do get to get out to the golf course. But I wanted to ask you if you feel like, and because you took a little more time with Dr. Ken last Thursday.
A lot more time, yeah.
About, you know, unleashing some creativity and just kind of, you know, exercising some mental whatever flotsam you were trying to get rid of. And I wanted to know, do you feel like it made a difference the last few days for you?
I don't think there's any question. Now, working in concert with a very relaxing vacation.
Right. Good timing.
Really good timing.
For Dr. Ken.
But, you know, I was up super early today. Had some time to myself this morning, which was really nice. And then, but I talking about baseball, you know, I asked him about, hey, man, help me with my baseball.
Oh, that's right.
Game.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Look at the ball looks big, like a big beach ball coming in.
So we had a tier one game yesterday, and we've been on a roll on the squad for sure. And I was batting. I was in the nine hole. We scored 9 runs in the first. I walked in the first. Now, then they brought in a kid who's probably, Paul, you'd probably say that's probably the dirtiest arm we've seen since we started playing adult ball again.
Yeah, he was the most effective.
Kid was
pitcher
nasty.
We've seen.
He was nasty. I don't know why they didn't start him. We wouldn't have scored 9 in the first off of him, but he was pretty dirty. Good fastball, nasty slider.
We scored 9 in the first. The final score, we had 10.
Yeah, 10. So he pretty much shut us down since then. I walked off of him 3 times and hit a no. Twice off of him and hit an RBI single. To right. And he was probably the dirtiest arm I've seen.
Seeing the ball well.
I was that tenth run. Knocked in that tenth run on a nice hit to right field. But yeah, he had me 0-2 and I walked. I mean, I was seeing it really well. So far so good. OBP of 1,000. Yesterday, my first game after hypnosis.
So I was thinking after a Friday 7-0 loss, we might need to send Dr. Ken on the road trip with the Padres to hypnotize them all. But whatever they did Friday to Saturday seem to work. We will talk about all the games this weekend in Cleveland, starting with our Padres wrap-up coming up at 6:35, and go over yesterday's pretty thrilling 2-1 win. I mean, tense game.
Yeah, we had it on in the dugout.
Rubber game of the series. Certainly could have gone either way. I think I tweeted around the seventh inning, this is either going to be a great win or a horrible loss.
Yeah.
And there really is no gray area in between.
It was such a tight game.
They hold on to win. They take the series. You felt like, okay, they've done something really good coming out of the break. If they blow it, though, after Michael King's performance yesterday, and they can't finish the job and get the win, it's going to be a gut punch. And, you know, there's no moral victories for keeping it close against a good Cleveland team in that scenario where you had such a great pitching performance and you had a lead for the whole game. So,
depending on who you ask.
Well, that's true. It's Mike Schilt's not here.
Right.
For everybody else.
We'll talk to him on Friday. I promise you, had they lost yesterday, it would have been a glowing post-game interview talking about the pitching,
which is fine, which is absolutely okay. Right. I mean,
I'm
you always
contradicts like how Ben was saying. There's no gray area. It's either a great win or a horrible loss.
Yeah, I think for us, and that's you listening, yeah. Yes, I do feel that the manager, in particular, Mike Schilt, is 1,000% going to. And by the way, he's probably right to feel that way. Right? I mean, he said his quote yesterday was, "That's why I'll let other people react. You know, that's fine. I know what this club's I know what this club's about. I know this game can be a challenge. We came in here with the club that's leading the division, best record in the AL, best record at home. We won 2 out of 3. I got complete confidence in our ball club."
Fine, we'll talk about it. I think he's the only one that would have tried to put a positive spin on that game had they blown it.
If they had lost that game, Ben, 3-2.
Jake Cronenworth would have said, "We didn't get it done. We needed to add on."
Yeah, but
we
Ben
need to be
Higgins
better.
Would have said, Michael King pitched his ass
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I would have said Michael King pitched well.
Right.
But that
you
would
could
have
lose
been
9-0 and get your ass kicked.
That would have been a devastating
Profar
loss.
Had a good. I mean, Profar went 4-for-4.
Now, there's always something positive in every game, and I don't mind you pointing it out. But had they lost that game,
would have sucked.
Would have been an absolute kick to the gut for the Padres. Instead, they come out of this break with some, you know, good feelings,
yep,
positive feelings on what is undoubtedly a tough road trip. So we'll go through yesterday's game coming up in our Padres wrap-up. 7 o'clock hour, talk about the other games from the weekend, the win and the loss in Cleveland, 7-0 both ways. Take on Woods. We will carry over some of our categories from last week. And we got some new categories as well. Chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas in our musical trivia challenge. Don't do this. I know Woods is excited about one of the don't do this topics already on the show today. And then in the second half of the program, we'll get back to our regular guests after giving them the week off. In season, Sam Levitt will be with us at 8:35. We got our round report at 9 o'clock, and we will take it all the way until 10 as the Padres continue their road trip tomorrow. Already a day off for your San Diego Padres. 3 days and like, all right, day off time again in Washington today before they start a 3-game series against the Nationals tomorrow afternoon.
Can't wait.
All right, that's the menu. We will get into our Padres a winning Monday morning, Padres wrap-up for the first time since late May.
Soak it in.
Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Padres get that 2-1 win over the Cleveland Guardians yesterday to take 2 out of 3 to open the second half of the season. What a pitching performance by, well, two consecutive unbelievable pitching performance.
Three.
I was going to say, you know what? Give me three.
All right. Matt Waldron was really good as well.
Fantastic.
Didn't get any offensive support,
nope,
but not his fault.
No.
Three really outstanding pitching performances. It's funny when six hits and one run is the clunker of the three. You know you had some great starting pitching.
It's incredible.
Over the weekend. But the stat that blew me away, only the second time in Padres franchise history that they've had a 2-game span allowing just 3 hits. And the only other time came back in 1984, 40 years ago, where they gave up 1 hit on Saturday, yesterday, and pulled off the series win over a very good Cleveland Guardians team. We'll get to a victorious, finally, Monday morning Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they...
I love winning, man. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
1-2, Higashioka swings, lines it into left field and a base hit. Merrill will score. Here comes Kim as it rolls to the base of the wall. And Higashioka chugging into second base. A two-run double and a 2-0 Padre lead. Try to work yet another 1-2-3 inning. Here's the 1-1. Kwan swings, grounds it to Cronenworth for the third time today. Jake's got it. Long throw to first in plenty of time. And 6 no-hit innings for Michael King. 2-1 pitch. Martinez, line drive into shallow center field. Long run, going to drop. First of the day for the Guardians, a bloop single for Angel Martinez to lead off here in the seventh inning. Michael comes set and ready, 2-1 to Ramirez. Here's the pitch. Swung on, bounced sharply to first and through. Eyes drove to his right, couldn't get there. Martinez trying to go first to third. Peralta's throw, cut by Manny. Throw to second to tag, out at second. What a play. Runner on third, one away. 2-2, the pitch. Naylor reaches for it, bangs it on the ground to the right side. Cronenworth has it. Padres will concede the run. Throw to first is in time, but Martinez comes in to score. And now 2-1 here in the seventh. 2-1 from Suarez, the pitch. Ramirez swings, hits it in the air to deep right center. Long way to go, Merrill. He'll get there to make the catch on the warning track, and the ball game is over. For just the second time this year, the Guardians drop a home series. Padres come out of the break and take 2 out of 3 here in Cleveland against the team with the best home record in all of Major League Baseball.
I know what this club's about. I know this game could be a challenge some days. We just came in here with a club that's leading their division, best record in the American League, best record at home, just won 2 out of 3. And, you know, to your point, Ace, I mean, down the first game, nip and tuck, got away from us, you know, later. But I got complete confidence in our ball club.
Man. It's so funny, too, how all three games are intertwined, as baseball is. You know, it's cause and effect. It's risk management. It's all of those things. It's thinking a couple of plays ahead, hoping it works out. It really is one big, giant 162-game chess match for a skipper, Ben. And my phone was blowing up on Friday night with some questions about Mike Schilt's bullpen management. I had the exact same questions. This worked out. This was a series of moves for Mike Schilt that worked out. And the ability to go to Robert Suarez yesterday, Ben, for 4 massive outs, including the very last one against one of the world's most feared hitters. Robert Suarez being able to dial up his fastest pitch of the year at the exact time he needed it. It's all connected. And I think that's what it's hard, man, because I'm a big let's go 1-0 today guy. But you cannot manage like that, because if you managed like that, Friday night's game, which we'll get into, would have had potentially devastating consequences on Saturday and Sunday. Maybe not so much Saturday, but Sunday for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I get the question, though. Then why did they use Jeremiah Estrada on Saturday with the big lead?
Right.
But he was still available yesterday.
Correct.
Did get 2 outs.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're wrong for asking that question. I was as confused, I think, as the next person. I'm of the opinion that I'm usually defer to the experts on this, right? And I will say Friday night in the hotel room, when the first guy that came off the bench to throw was Yuki Matsui, I go, Matsui? What?
He was great.
My wife is in there like brushing her hair. I go, first one right out of the break. First one and a 1-0. We're going to Matsui here. Strikes out the side. All right, idiot. And then Kolek, obviously that blew up, and we'll get into that game, but that game had a huge effect. And a guy had DM'd me, and I said, look, man, I think I understand what he's doing. I think I do. If we win the next 2 games of the series, he's a genius. So I guess I have to stand by that it was actually pretty brilliant managing, even though at the time, man, made you pull your hair out.
Let's go through yesterday's game specifically. And as we said, first Sunday win since May. If it sounds like it's been a while since we heard that winning Padres recap, though, it's been nearly a month. It was June 27th was the last time we actually got to play a winning Padres wrap-up.
Good God.
After a weekday win that we had a show the next day.
July 22nd.
Because they did win on July 3rd and 4th, but we were off on the 4th and the 5th. So
crazy.
The last time there was actually a weekday or Sunday game that we had a show the next morning and the Padres won. It's almost been a month since we heard that. So that felt good to actually hear a winning Padres recap for once. Padres started out, obviously got Michael King some offense in the second inning. What a big hit by Kyle Higashioka coming through with two outs. I always joke, I was watching the game with my son, and anytime Kyle Higashioka comes up, it's always like, it feels like it's either going to be a home run or nothing. But in this case, just ripped a line drive double down the line and brought in both runs to give the Padres a 2-0 lead. Really the only clutch hit. They had some other chances, but that would be the only offense for Michael King. Usually that's a recipe, Woods, for finding a way to lose a game. When you score a couple early and then never add on. But Michael King was fantastic, retiring the first 10 batters he faced. The perfect game was lost on a walk in the fourth inning, but kept the no-hitter going all the way into the seventh, when it was finally broken up on a bloop single by Angel Martinez. Then a little trouble, but you heard the highlight of what was kind of the hidden play of the game, and it was the Jose Ramirez hard-hit ball through the right side of the hole. David Peralta tries to get the runner at third, probably ill-advised, allowing Jose Ramirez, it seemed,
to advance into scoring position.
But Manny Machado, doing what Manny does, steps forward, cuts it off, makes a perfect throw.
Unreal. Michael comes set and ready, 2-1 to Ramirez. Here's the pitch. Swung on, bounced sharply to first, and through. Arise drove to his right, couldn't get there. Martinez trying to go first to third. Peralta's throw, cut by Manny. Throw to second to tag. Out at second! What a play!
Unbelievable.
Really close. I was surprised that the Guardians didn't challenge, at least to try at that stage in the game. But and we don't know what would have happened, but second and third, nobody out.
Right.
Instead of just a runner at third and one out, they let the run score on a ground ball, but then the bases are clear. Two outs. You've really... You know, you've allowed a run, but you've kind of dodged the real threat that the Guardians were putting together based on that play.
The big inning. Yeah. And Manny had an absolutely abysmal series in Cleveland, except for that one play. That one play alone really helped them win that game yesterday. But abysmal with the bat. He hit a couple balls hard, didn't find a hole, but he was whiffing a bunch, getting some bad calls against him. Doesn't look like he's out of the break, Ben, seeing the ball as well as he could be. Interesting note, though, he did face it. They said he faced like 12 different pitchers. Every time they made a move, it was to counteract.
Yeah, Stephen Vogt was ready with different guys.
Different
to face
looks
Manny.
For Manny every time. Now, again, when you make $35 million a year, that's going to happen to you. That's going to be the guy that you don't want to let beat you. He was just not good with the bat. Had that weird defensive play on Friday as well. It just was not going his way. But that play in particular yesterday, just as clutch and smart of a baseball IQ play as you'll see.
Michael King, seven innings, finished with the two hits, the one earned run, six strikeouts, picking up his eighth win of the season. And you look at the Padres rotation, and if you get what you got over the weekend from Waldron, Cease, and King, or anything close to it, it's a great start. But now, of course, you get back into the, okay, what about the rest of them?
And buddy, if we were starting a playoff series tomorrow, sure. I like our chances in a short series, right? I really like that exact rotation. Waldron first. Jesse and Tony were talking about how when Waldron leads off a series, he opens the series, it makes it so much harder for all the guys to game plan, and it just sets them up in a better way because you can't really prepare for that knuckleball, and it throws you off your game.
Yeah, cart in front of the horse, but I don't know that if I'm leading off a playoff series.
I'm just saying.
I probably have to go with Cease.
Of course, I would probably do the same thing, but what I'm telling you is those guys, and Tony Gwynn Jr. was one of them that said it too. And I want to dig a little deeper into that.
Now, do you mix up Waldron in between Cease and King, the hard throwing right handers?
But it just makes it
change up the looks. Maybe
it makes it really hard for them to game plan in game one, which is the game you got to have. It makes it really difficult to game plan for the entire series. So he's such a wild card, Matt Waldron is, and he has pitched brilliantly. He deserved that win.
I feel like all three of them are wild cards. Cease has been a little bit more consistent
as of late.
But he had a long stretch of inconsistency.
Right. Yeah. And King, when he's on, he's as sharp as anybody in baseball.
Well, this may blow your mind. Michael King, since May 1st, only Chris Sale and Garrett Crochet have a higher F4 since May 1st. So that's all of May, all of June, and now most of July.
King was a home run dispenser in April.
He's been fantastic.
He's really been good since the start of May.
Top three pitcher in baseball in F4 since May 1st. So, I love what I'm seeing from him. And the thing that keeps creeping into my head is his stupid innings. And I'm like, Woodsy, I can't worry about it. I can't worry about the mileage on his arm. He's preparing. He's executing. And I just... It's going to be so hard without reserves, without backup, the cavalry coming in to eat some innings down the road to get him a little bit more rest. It's going to be so hard to facilitate a huge win streak.
Like, how do they manage that?
How do you manage it?
Is he going to be like an opener a couple of games? Like, hey, you're going to throw an inning or two.
I don't know. I really, really don't know how to manage it. It's all based on, look, we saw Seth Lugo do it. We've seen guys do it. Guys are doing it. Garrett Crochet is doing it. He's doing it. Like, they know what that number is.
Well, at some point, you have to take the shackles off as a pitcher. Like,
right.
At some point in your young career,
probably
you're
going to
throw
season,
the
though.
Most. Right. But AJ went out and got him. He was the centerpiece of the biggest trade of the offseason.
Well, look at Seth Lugo. Last year, the Padres took some of the shackles off,
yep.
But he did have that injury in like May.
Yeah, it was a calf though.
That kept him off and kept his innings down a little bit. Now he exceeded it as a starter where he had been the previous few years. Do you know who's thrown the most innings in all
Seth
of
Lugo.
Baseball this season?
Guys have been,
Seth Lugo.
Been unbelievable.
And maybe next year Michael King can, you know, lead baseball in innings thrown, but it's not going to happen this season. There's still going to be somewhat
of
a limit.
Contention. You were hoping to contend for a playoff spot this year when you acquired him. You didn't acquire him just to have him sit for that postseason run.
Well, no, and hence why you need reinforcements. Here's the juggling
act. You also
act.
Didn't think your top two starters would be out.
Right. How do you juggle needing to win a lot of games while also making sure he's healthy and not overexerting himself more than he already has in his entire career? You have to bring in, and by the way, still winning games. You could absolutely go out and get a Patrick Corbin or somebody that's going to just, hey, I'm going to give you seven. We're going to be down 8-0 or 8-3, but I'm going to give you seven innings. Like, you can, those guys are a dime a dozen. Dallas Keuchel's out there right now. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of guys that can go out and
you have those guys in your system.
They're there. They're absolutely there. The juggling act is you also have to win baseball games. You also have to win baseball games at that time. So this isn't, we have such a comfortable lead, we can just cruise. You're going to have to ride Michael King. You're going to have to ride Dylan Cease. You're going to have to ride Matt Waldron.
Dub J in the chat asks an interesting question. Because of the inning counts mounting, do you think they would have let King go for the no-no had he gotten through the seventh? Now, his pitch count was pretty low.
It was low.
My guess is Mike Shildt is kind of glad that he didn't have to make that decision and was able to pull Michael King seven strong innings and just have no doubts that he could go to Estrada, and then he knew he had Suarez for four outs if he needed it.
100%.
It worked out very well, as you said.
Talked about it. We can play that after the
He was set up well. All right, we'll play that when we come back. Do want to mention Xander Schauffele's win yesterday as well. Recent Ben and Woods guests back in the major winner's circle yesterday, and take on Woods ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Padres get that 2-1 win over the Cleveland Guardians yesterday to take 2 out of 3 to open the second half of the season. What a pitching performance two consecutive unbelievable pitching performances.
Three.
I was going to say, you know what? Give me three.
All right, Matt Waldron was really good
as
well.
Fantastic.
Didn't get any offensive support, but not his fault.
No.
Three really outstanding pitching performances. It's funny, when six hits and one run is the clunker of the three. You know, you had some great starting pitching.
It's incredible.
Over the weekend. But the stat that blew me away, only the second time in Padres franchise history that they've had a two-game span allowing just three hits. And the only other time came back in 1984, 40 years ago, where they gave up one hit on Saturday, yesterday, and pulled off the series win over a very good Cleveland Guardians team. We'll get to a victorious, finally, Monday morning Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they...
I love winning, man. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
1-2, Higashioka swings, lines it into left field and a base hit. Merrill will score. Here comes Kim as it rolls to the base of the wall. And Higashioka chugging into second base. A two-run double and a 2-0 Padre lead. Try to work yet another 1-2-3 inning. Here's the 1-1. Kwan swings, grounds it to Cronenworth for the third time today. Jake's got it. Long throw to first in plenty of time. And six no-hit innings for Michael King. 2-1 pitch. Martinez, line drive into shallow center field. Long run, going to drop. First of the day for the Guardians, a bloop single for Angel Martinez to lead off here in the seventh inning. Michael comes set and ready, 2-1 to Ramirez. Here's the pitch. Swung on, bounced sharply to first and through. And eyes go to his right, couldn't get there. Martinez trying to go first to third. Peralta's throw, cut by Manny. Throw to second, the tag, out at second. What a play. Runner on third, one away. 2-2, the pitch. Naylor reaches for it, bangs it on the ground to the right side. Cronenworth has it. Padres will concede the run. Throw to first is in time. But Martinez comes in to score. And now 2-1 here in the seventh. 2-1 from Suarez, the pitch. Ramirez swings, hits it in the air to deep right center. Long way to go, Merrill. He'll get there to make the catch on the warning track, and the ball game is over. For just the second time this year, the Guardians drop a home series. Padres come out of the break and take 2 out of 3 here in Cleveland against the team with the best home record in all of Major League Baseball.
I know what this club's about. I know this game could be a challenge some days. You know, we just came in here with a club that's leading their division, best record in the American League, best record in, at home. Just won 2 out of 3. And, you know, to your point, Ace, I mean, down the first game, nip and tuck, got away from us, you know, later. But I got complete confidence in our ball club.
Man. It's so funny, too, how all three games are intertwined, as baseball is. You know, it's cause and effect. It's risk management. It's all of those things. It's thinking a couple of plays ahead, hoping it works out. It really is one big, giant, 162-game chess match for a skipper, Ben. And my phone was blowing up on Friday night with some questions about Mike Schilt's bullpen management. I had the exact same questions. This worked out. This was a move, a series of moves for Mike Schilt that worked out. And the ability to go to Robert Suarez yesterday, Ben, for four massive outs, including the very last one against one of the world's most feared hitters. Robert Suarez being able to dial up his fastest pitch of the year at the exact time he needed it. It's all connected. And I think that's what it's hard, man, because I'm a big let's go 1-0 today guy. But you cannot manage like that, because if you managed like that, Friday night's game, which we'll get into, would have had potentially devastating consequences on Saturday and Sunday. Maybe not so much Saturday, but Sunday for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I get the question, though, then why did they use Jeremiah Estrada on Saturday with the big lead?
Right.
But he was still available yesterday.
Correct.
Did get two outs.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're wrong for asking that question. I was as confused, I think, as the next person. I'm you know, I'm of the opinion that I'm usually defer to the experts on this, right? And I will say Friday night in the hotel room when the first guy that came off the bench to throw was Yuki Matsui, I go, Matsui? What?
And he was great.
He was great. My wife is in there like brushing her hair. I go, first one out of the right out of the break. First one and a 1-0. We're going to Matsui here. Strikes out the side. All right, idiot. And then Kolek, obviously that blew up, and we'll get into that game, but that game had a huge effect. And a guy had DM'd me and I said, look, man, I think I understand what he's doing. I think I do. If we win the next two games of the series, he's a genius. So I guess I have to stand by that, that it was actually pretty brilliant managing, even though at the time, man, made you pull your hair out.
Let's go through yesterday's game specifically. And as we said, first Sunday win since May. If it sounds like it's been a while since we heard that winning Padres recap, though, it's been nearly a month. It was June 27th was the last time we actually got to play a winning Padres wrap-up.
Good God.
After a weekday win that we had a show the next day.
It is July 22nd.
Because they did win on July 3rd and 4th, but we were off on the 4th and the 5th. So Crazy. The last time there was actually a weekday or Sunday game that we had a show the next morning and the Padres won. It's almost been a month since we heard that, so that felt good to actually hear a winning Padres recap for once. Padres started out, obviously got Michael King some offense in the second inning. What a big hit by Kyle Higashioka coming through with two outs. I always joke, I was watching the game with my son, and anytime Kyle Higashioka comes up, it's always like, it feels like it's either going to be a home run or nothing. But in this case, just ripped a line drive double down the line and brought in both runs to give the Padres a 2-0 lead. Really the only clutch hit. They had some other chances, but that would be the only offense for Michael King. Usually that's a recipe, Woods, for finding a way to lose a game. When you score a couple early and then never add on. But Michael King was fantastic, retiring the first 10 batters he faced. The perfect game was lost on a walk in the fourth inning, but kept the no-hitter going all the way into the seventh, when it was finally broken up on a bloop single by Angel Martinez. Then a little trouble, but you heard the highlight of what was kind of the hidden play of the game. And it was the Jose Ramirez hard hit ball through the right side of the hole. David Peralta tries to get the runner at third, probably ill-advised, allowing Jose Ramirez, it seemed,
to get
to advance
position.
Into scoring position. But Manny Machado, doing what Manny does, steps forward, cuts it off, makes a perfect throw.
Unreal. Michael comes set and ready, 2-1 to Ramirez. Here's the pitch. Swung on, bounced sharply to first, and through. Arise drove to his right, couldn't get there. Martinez trying to go first to third. Peralta's throw, cut by Manny. Throw to second, the tag, out at second! What a play!
Unbelievable.
Really close. I was surprised that the Guardians didn't challenge, at least to try at that stage in the game. And we don't know what would have happened, but second and third, nobody out.
Right.
Instead of just a runner at third and one out, they let the run score on a ground ball, but then the bases are clear. Two outs, you've really... You know, you've allowed a run, but you've kind of dodged the real threat that the Guardians were putting together based on that play.
The big inning. Yeah. Manny had an absolutely abysmal series in Cleveland, except for that one play. That one play alone really helped them win that game yesterday. But abysmal with the bat. Yeah, he hit a couple balls hard. Didn't find a hole, but he was whiffing a bunch, getting some bad calls against him. Doesn't look like he's out of the break, Ben, seeing the ball as well as he could be. Interesting note, though, he did face it. They said he faced like 12 different pitchers. Every time they made a move, it was to counteract.
Yeah, Stephen Vogt was ready with different guys.
Different
to face
looks
Manny.
For Manny every time. Now, again, when you make $35 million a year, that's going to happen to you. That's going to be the guy that you don't want to let beat you. He was just not good with the bat. Had that weird defensive play on Friday as well. It just was not going his way. But that play in particular yesterday, just as clutch and smart of a baseball IQ play as you'll see.
Michael King, seven innings, finished with the two hits, the one earned run, six strikeouts, picking up his eighth win of the season. And you look at the Padres' rotation, and if you get what you got over the weekend from Waldron, Cease, and King, or anything close to it, it's a great start. But now, of course, you get back into the, okay, what about the rest of them?
And, buddy, if we were starting a playoff series tomorrow, sure. I like our chances in a short series, right? I really like that exact rotation. Waldron first. Jesse and Tony were talking about how when Waldron leads off a series, he opens the series, it makes it so much harder for all the guys to game plan. And it just sets them up in a better way because you can't really prepare for that knuckleball. And it throws you off your game.
Yeah, cart in front of the horse. But I don't know that if I'm leading off a playoff series.
I'm just saying.
I probably have to go with Cease.
Of course. I would probably do the same thing. But what I'm telling you is, those guys, and Tony Gwynn Jr. was one of them that said it too, and I want to dig a little
now,
deeper
into
that.
Now, do you mix up Waldron in between Cease and King, the hard-throwing
maybe
right-handers,
but to it just makes it,
change up the looks? Maybe.
It makes it really hard for them to game plan in game one, which is the game you got to have. It makes it really difficult to game plan for the entire series. So he's such a wild card, Matt Waldron is, and he has pitched brilliantly. He deserved that win.
I feel like all three of them are wild cards. Cease has been a little bit more consistent
the
as
last
of
couple,
late.
Yeah, as of late.
But he had a long stretch of inconsistency.
Right.
Yeah.
And King, when he's on, he's as sharp as anybody in baseball.
Well, this may blow your mind. Michael King, since May 1st, only Chris Sale and Garrett Crochet have a higher F4 since May 1st. So that's all of May, all of June, and now most
King,
of July.
King was a home run dispenser in April.
He had
since
a rough
then, he's
April.
Been fantastic.
He's been fantastic.
He's really been good since the start of May.
Top three pitcher in baseball in F4 since May 1st. So, I love what I'm seeing from it. And the thing that keeps creeping into my head is his stupid innings. And I'm like, Woodsy, I can't worry about it. I can't worry about the mileage on his arm. He's preparing. He's executing. And I just, it's going to be so hard without reserves, without backup, the cavalry coming in to eat some innings down the road to get him a little bit more rest. It's going to be so hard to facilitate a huge win streak.
Like, how do they manage that?
How
like,
do you manage it?
Is he going to be like an opener a couple of games? Like, hey, you're going to throw an inning or two.
I don't know. I really, really don't know how to manage it. It's all based on – look, we saw Seth Lugo do it. We've seen guys do it. Guys are doing it. Garrett Crochet is doing it. He's doing it. Like, they know what that number is.
Well, at some point, you have to take the shackles off as a pitcher. Like,
right.
At some point in your young career,
probably
you're
going to
throw
season,
the
though.
Most. Right. But AJ went out and got him. He was the centerpiece of the biggest trade of the offseason.
Well, look at Seth Lugo. Last year, the Padres took some of the shackles off,
yep,
but he did have that injury in like May.
Yeah, it was a calf though.
That kept him off and kept his innings down a little bit. Now he exceeded it as a starter where he had been the previous few years. Do you know who's thrown the most innings in all
Seth
of
Lugo.
Baseball this season?
Guys have been,
Seth Lugo.
Been unbelievable.
And maybe next year Michael King can, you know, lead baseball in innings thrown, but it's not going to happen this season. There's still going
right,
to be somewhat
of
a limit.
Contention. You were hoping to contend for a playoff spot this year when you acquired him. Not you didn't acquire him just to have him sit for that postseason run.
Well, no, and hence why you need reinforcements. Here's the juggling
act. You also
act.
Didn't think your top two starters would be out.
Right. How do you juggle needing to win a lot of games while also making sure he's healthy and not overexerting himself more than he already has in his entire career? You have to bring in, and by the way, still winning games. You could absolutely go out and get a Patrick Corbin or somebody that's going to just, hey, I'm going to give you seven. We're going to be down 8-0 or 8-3, but I'm going to give you seven innings. Like, you can, those guys are a dime a dozen. They're, Dallas Keuchel's out there right now. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of guys that can go out and
you have those
innings.
Guys in your system.
They're there. They're absolutely there. The juggling act is you also have to win baseball games. You also have to win baseball games at that time. So this isn't, we have such a comfortable lead, we can just cruise. You're going to have to ride Michael King. You're going to have to ride Dylan Cease. You're going to have to ride Matt Waldron.
Dub J in the chat asks an interesting question. Because of the inning counts mounting, do you think they would have let King go for the no-no had he gotten through the seventh? Now,
I
his pitch count
no,
was pretty I, low.
It was low.
My guess is Mike Schilt is kind of glad that he didn't have to make that decision and was able to pull Michael King seven strong innings and just have no doubts that he could go to Estrada, and then he knew he had Suarez for four outs if he needed it.
100%.
It worked out very well, as you said.
Schilt talked about it. We can play that after the
He was set up well. All right, we'll play that when we come back. Do want to mention Xander Schauffele's win yesterday as well. Recent Ben and Woods guests back in the major winner's circle yesterday, and take on Woods ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.